Open your Bibles, please. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. We're in our series on finding our identity in Christ. Verses that are really right here, key hinge verses in this letter. This is the Word of God. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we're so glad this morning that we have the hope of Jesus Messiah. We're so glad this morning that we have your written word. We're so glad we have the sacrament. So, Father, we're asking for your Holy Spirit to so work now as we come to the Word and to the sacrament that we have a great understanding of what it is to walk in Christ. Father, to find strength for that walk, that you may work in us. So help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What burns calories, strengthens our hearts, helps lower blood sugar, eases joint pain, boosts immune function and our energy levels, improves our minds, extends our lives, tones our legs, and helps us think creatively? Walking. Very good. Very good. Thank you. Walking. Walking. Those are 10 benefits of walking. And it's wonderful to walk in the bright sunshine on a clear, cool autumn day. Getting that vitamin D soaked in. Walking in sunshine is good for you. They'll use sunscreen. All right. But we want to talk about another kind of walking in sunshine. And this is with not S-U-N, but S-O-N. Because that's the best thing for us, for our spiritual health. So what's it mean to walk in sunshine? What's it mean for us to identify with Christ such that we walk in Him? When Paul uses the word therefore here, he goes to take these two verses really to apply everything he said so far and then to set us up for everything he's going to say in the rest of the letter. You may remember that he said back in chapter 1 that we're to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And you need to know, be aware that in chapter 4, he's going to tell us to walk in wisdom. So what is significant about walking in sunshine? In Christ Jesus the Lord, identifying with Him. Let's go to the text and to the sacrament and we'll see. First, walking in sunshine does mean that we keep on going. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, a logical question might be where to keep going from. Or from where we started. And where's the starting point for us? It's when we receive Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, what did that mean for us? Let's point out the obvious, perhaps, here. It means receiving a person. The person described for us in chapter 1 of the letter. He's Christ, that is, Messiah. He's the one promised since the Garden of Eden. He's Savior. He has saved us from our sins. As Jesus. And He is Lord. He's the ruler over all. He rules the universe. It's His kingdom we have been delivered into, that is, rescued into, from the NIV's got that language, just as we sang this morning, just as Paul describes in chapter 1. And really, all the emphasis in this verse, because it's a chiastic structure, and we know that means that the most important words are the one in the middle. And literally it reads this way, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, in Him walk. The focus is totally on Jesus here. And so we receive Jesus when we really receive truth about Him. That He is as described in chapter 1, which is our call to worship this morning. That He's made peace with us, for us, with God, by the blood of His cross. He's reconciled us to God through His body of death. We identify with Him in that death. Paul told the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. And then Paul goes on to say what? Nevertheless, I live. Now here's the key point. when it comes to walking in Him. We do not make Jesus Lord of our lives. He never comes first to us as Savior, and subsequently down the road, sometime we make Him our Lord. Actually, because He is Lord, He can be our Savior. He's the Lord of the universe. He is Lord. His Lordship in our lives is not optional. So walking in Him, continually identifying ourselves in Him and with Him, is more than just what we do, though it is that. It's who we are. It's whose we are. It's where we live. We're His children. We belong to Him. You know, my street address might be Kilgore Falls Drive, but my real address is what? In Him. You see, we do not make Him Lord. He is that. But He does make us to be His servants. He makes us to be His daughters and His sons. And that's how we want to identify ourselves. Now, the way the world wants us to identify ourselves today is as we're Democrat or Republican, or we watch Fox, or we watch CNN, or with our job, or our sexuality, or by race or ethnicity. But you see, we're to identify ourselves in Christ, belonging to Him, walking in Him on a daily basis. And that's step after step after step after step after step. And keep in mind, this word walk here, it's an imperative. It's command. This isn't an option for believers. We are saved by grace. We are saved by what Jesus did for us on the cross, not by what we've done. We're saved by what He gives us, not what we've earned. But make no mistake, we're a commanded people. There are imperatives for the Christian and for our walk. And as we do this, though, understand, as we receive Him, we received Him by grace. We received Him through faith. Walk in Him. In other words, we start that walk in grace. We start that walk in faith, and we continue that way. We keep walking in faith. So we can say to walk in sunshine is to walk by faith. And then Paul gives us four participles to describe that walk. And the first three are metaphors for us. First one is, he says, it's a rooted walk. And that comes from agriculture for us. It's the only one of the participles, for those of you who love grammar here, it's the only one that's in the perfect tense. It means it's completed past action. It's happened. Already, Jesus is the soil from which we grow. It's an established fact. He's where we get our nutrition. He is where we are anchored. It's where we're held down. He's our security when the howling storms of life blow. The thinking here for us, we go back to Psalm 1, to be trees planted by streams of water, or to go to John 15, and we think of Christ as the vine, and we're the branches. We're rooted in Him, and He is enough. The false teachers are trying to say that He's not, that you've got to have something more. But Paul emphasizes, Jesus is enough. We're rooted in Him as our starting point, and we continue to grow from those roots. We're being built up. That's from construction. So it's an ongoing thing. That tense is the present. It's ongoing. Being built up is like building a house and you with bricks, and you build row after row, brick upon brick. It's that sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit where God works in us and He helps us battle against sin. At the same time, He's at work allowing the fruit of the Spirit to show through as we do the good works He's prepared beforehand for us to do. Now wonder, when we look back at our lives, do we see progress? You know, am I more like Jesus today in His holiness, in His compassion, in His love, in obedience to the Father's will, than 2 years ago? Than 5 years ago? Are we growing? Are we being built up? You see, because we're also being established. And that's court language. That's a legal word. It guarantees our status as belonging to God and dependence on the promises of God. Being established in the faith means we come to the point in our spiritual life where we have complete assurance that we have eternal life. We belong to Him. We cannot lose that. It cannot be taken away. Complete assurance that we're saved by Christ forever and ever and ever. And here's the thing. Grammar's a great thing this morning, all right? I know you love it. These participles are all passive. Now, what's that mean? Well, if it's passive, well, that's something that's being done to us, right? Someone or something rooted us, builds us up, establishes us. So what's Paul saying? All right, we have the command to walk. And as we walk, God is working in our lives. That's the point Paul was making to the Philippians in those verses that we read in our Declaration of Truth, which we sang. God began a good work in us. God saved us. And He will complete that work. To be sure, we're to walk in Him, as Paul told the Philippians, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. See, that's work, that's walking. And as we do, he goes on to say, God works in you, as we do that, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. So faith and grace are operative words for our whole lives. We walk in Him, and that's how He works in us. And He promises He's going to complete the process of making us to be like Jesus. One day, we will look exactly like Jesus. So it becomes a learned walk. Notice it says, just as you were taught. So what Paul's telling us here, he's not being innovative. He's pointing to established truth for our walk. God says in Jeremiah, very poignantly, ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. Friends, that's this book. This is the ancient path. This is the good way. This is how we're to walk God's way, as God works in us. And He does. He allows us to rest in what Jesus has done for us at the cross when it comes to our salvation. It's all finished. And that's where the fourth participle here comes in. It's another present tense. He says, we're to be abounding. Well, abounding in what? Well, abounding with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to Jesus for who He is and for all the benefits that we have in Him. Remember David's opening words in Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is with me. Bless His holy name. David starts that by zeroing in on just who Jesus is. His name reveals all that there is to know about Jesus. We can know about Him. Then he goes on to say, bless the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, David brings in everything He's done for us. And we should be abounding, we should be overflowing with thanksgiving all the time. Now, being thankful is a theme that runs all the way through Colossians, all the way through God's Word. Colossians 7 times reminds us to be thankful, not only here in chapter 2, but twice in chapter 1, where we learn about Paul's pattern of thanksgiving. 3 times in chapter 3, we're told to be thankful. And then again in chapter 4, we're told to give thanks. And so constantly giving thanks to God keeps us constantly aware of who He is, of what He has done for us, what He continues to do for us and in us day by day by day by day as we walk with Him. I mean, think about all the spiritual blessings we have to be thankful for, to overflow with, to abound in as we walk in sunshine. We've got the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Our sins are forgiven. We have eternal life. We've been adopted by God as His children. We're members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're members of His body. We have peace with God. We've been declared righteous based on Christ's righteousness. We have the Word of God. We have the privilege of prayer to a holy and all-knowing, all-powerful God. We have the privilege of worship. We have the privilege of this table. All the benefits we can be so thankful for. We can walk in Christ. We can identify ourselves in Him. So what about us? How do we apply this today, God's Word? You know, the sacraments are so important to us. Baptism is that outward sign that reminds us that we belong to Christ. Baptism is the mark that identifies us to the world as people who belong to Christ, that we're in Christ. That's what we give that sign to our children when they're born, to acknowledge they belong to Him, to acknowledge they need the same cleansing blood, the same salvation that we needed. And it reminds us, as we do, of all that that we have in Him. I'm His. He's mine. That's our identity. Likewise, the verses remind us here of coming to the Lord's table. See, this is where we started in our walk with Christ. We started at the cross where He gave His life for us. This is where our strength comes from to keep on walking in Him as He works in us. It reminds us of what He promises to do in us. It reminds us that this is where we stand until He comes again. His body and blood, they saved us. But they're also the fuel that we feed on for the journey, for our walk. That's how we walk in sunshine. You think about what we do here is just really a simple act. We take a little piece of bread, take a little cup. But when we do it by faith, it's how God works in us. And He uses that simple act to build us up, to make us more like Christ, so that we overflow with thanks, that He does not ever leave us alone. As we walk, He works. So I invite that all who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and members of the Good Saint of an Evangelical Church to come to this table. We come to remember. We come to be strengthened. We come to be encouraged. Now, if you're here and you're not yet a believer, we're delighted you're here. We'd love the opportunity to introduce you to Jesus. But the Bible would urge you to let the elements pass. Instead, I would urge you, read Colossians. Some guidelines there in the worship guide for you. Ask God to show you the wonder of Christ. Likewise, children, not you've been examined by the session. She'll let the elements pass. But if you're wanting to take, that's a good thing. And in fact, I'm starting a class today. See me today to prepare children, youth, for membership. Talk with your parents about it and come today at 5 o'clock. For those of us who are believers, what a privilege we have. This is a place where we're told as we come to examine ourselves to see if we truly recognize the body of Jesus. Are we remembering what Jesus went through when He paid the penalty for our sins? In other words, are we walking in sunshine? What that means is this. You know, what's the attitude I had towards my sin that just keeps popping up? Do I want to get rid of it or do I tolerate it? I mean, what's my attitude towards walking in Christ in a manner worthy of the Lord? Do I want that? not out of pride, not out of guilt, but just out of love for Jesus. Just out of delight that I'm His. You know, does what Jesus did make me hate my sin and really want to turn from it? If that's the case, friends, by all means, we come to this table. On the other hand, if I don't really care whether or not I sin, if I don't want to make any effort towards walking in Christ, then I'm not realizing what Jesus did for me, what He did at the cross. And I should let the elements pass. Reread Colossians. Ask Jesus to show you and help you to love Him more and hate your sin more. So let's just now take a moment, go to the Lord, confess our sins to the Father privately. Father, we acknowledge before You this morning that we are sinners. Father, we confess we battle sin every day. Father, sometimes we have the strength to resist temptation, but so often we do not. And we think and say and do things we should not, and then we don't think or say or do the things we should. So, Father, as You bring those things to mind even now, Father, we confess them to You and we ask Your forgiveness. And Father, we thank You that Your Word promises us that if we confess our sins, that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That, Father, You will cast our sins into the depth of the sea. That as far as the east is from the west, so far will You remove our sins from us. So, Father, we claim that forgiveness this morning. Assure us that we're a forgiven people, we pray, based on Your Word, Your promises, Your Son. And we pray in His name. Amen.